This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
You're in the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with the
Priest,
the Pom,
and the Poof.
This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community. And good evening and welcome to the Spirit Lounge. You're with the Pom and the Poof. No Priest tonight because Joy, if you're listening, darling, in the car, she's racing out there towards the bushfires with her SES hat on to go and help those poor people. So you've just got the two of us, but we have a studio crammed full of people tonight. We're going to be talking to Laura Beckett, who is from St. Michael's Uniting Church, and they're doing something very special for Midsummer. And we're talking and listening to Ryan Burrett talking about the God particle, and it's not what you think it sounds like. Is it, Mr. P?
Well, you know, I brushed up on all my Higgs boson theory, but apparently it's not really about that. So we'll be finding out all about that later up in the show. First up, we have a quick track from Coldplay. It's called Don't Panic.
Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9 in the Spirit Lounge. Coming up this week, as part of Midsummer, there's an event called the God Particle, which is described as a song cycle of light, colour and sound. It's an evening of live music and multimedia projections. The multimedia event promises to be an atmospheric pop philosophy with a touch of the divine, and it's brainchild of Ryan Burrett, who joins us in the Spirit Lounge tonight. Welcome to the studio, Ryan.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, describe, what kind of an artist are you?
And you're not allowed to say piss artist.
Oh, I never heard that. More of a kiss artist.
Oh,
I
gorgeous.
Like to kiss and tell. I'll just tell you everything. I guess I'm the kind of artist that likes to invent myself through my experiences and what I see and what I like in the world. I try to make transformative artwork, and I see that as my music is sort of a transformative artwork for me, and it has a great effect on my life. So I'd say that's probably what kind of artist I am.
So you do music and visual stuff?
I just started doing the more visual component to my music for this show in particular, really. Yeah.
Now, this show is called The God Particle, which I've kind of heard of that because it's a book. But what is your God Particle about?
The God Particle, the song started coming to me. I found a piano on the side of the road opposite my house, actually.
What, just sitting
about
there?
A year and a half, yes.
Someone had thrown out a piano onto the pavement.
That's right. And my friend came over and was like, have you seen the piano opposite the house? I'm like, no. And so we dragged it inside, and I called Brunswick Pianos, and they came around and helped me recondition it.
Yep.
And then I just decided I'd like to really make an album where I'm just playing the piano, because I just recorded an album with Casey Rice and a bunch of great musicians last year, and it was very studio-based, and I just sort of wanted to get a more acoustic sound. So the song started coming to me, and I went through a lot of experiences in the year, and the God Particle discovery was something that happened, and I thought it was quite an apt metaphor for when I found the piano and me and the piano came together. The songs were the mass that was created. That third thing was the songs and the philosophy that it gave me, and I found it quite meaningful.
And the piano scrubbed up all right, yeah?
Absolutely. Howard. Call it Howard.
Howard.
Now, the book that Bertie mentioned earlier was by a physicist and author, Lean Lederman. It's called The God Particle. If the universe is the answer, what is the question? Did that inspire you at all when you were writing?
Not at all. But now you've mentioned it, I will definitely read it. When I'm doing a sort of a piece of work, I like to work on my intuition and use my personal experience and try and work off that. And then afterwards, if some things sort of seem to sink in with some sort of synchronicity, then I take that as a bonus. So I'll have to write that down.
So describe what type of entertainment this is that you're putting on, the God Particle. What is it?
It's basically a set of songs, and it tells a story. I guess there is a narrative in there, and my idea to start using projections was I just found some really beautiful footage of space on the NASA website, which is actually free, copyright free and able to use for public exhibitions, and I thought it's so beautiful to look at, and it inspired me in the songs as well. So I just started wanting to put projections together that showcased everything that's part of the world, like from eggs to drains to anything, and then the smaller things of the planet, and then the far reaches of space, and sort of how humans fit in between that.
I love a good projection festival. I digress for a moment, and I remember when I went to the Gertrude Street Projection Festival, and they've got all these interactive projections where you kind of like, you know, if you stand here and hold yourself in a funny way, then it makes the projection do something unique. So coming back to your projections that you've prepared, how much of it do you think is really technology, and how much of it is art, and where do you think the line is between them?
Look, some of the songs started as demos on an iPad, and then I took them onto the piano and I started writing them on the piano. So technology and the organic really weaves its way through all of it. I've been using the computer and a sophisticated camera to take the footage. So there's a technological component to it, definitely, but there's not really too many bells and whistles around the whole thing in terms of I basically point most of the shots are static shots. I found something beautiful and I want to sort of really make someone look at that for an extended period of time and sort of just let it speak for itself.
Now, you said in one of your press releases that your aim is to inspire a spiritual reaction within those who attend. So how do you do this?
I think I don't know if I said exactly that, but okay. I hope that does happen. I think by being vulnerable and showing something personal, I think it gives everyone something to relate to. And again, I think the choice of visuals that I want to use will further give people an added experience to that. And maybe I hope it will open questions in their mind and make them think about what's important in their life, what they find beautiful.
Okay.
So in a way, I guess kind of your art is inspired by your spiritual being, and in a way maybe it might spark somebody to get in touch with their spiritual being after seeing it.
Absolutely. I did an album, like the album I was talking about before, and it was based on my experiences in my 20s, and there was a fair amount of cynicism and you know humor and all of that going into it. And I think when I made this, I actually really wanted to make something beautiful, and I wanted to, you know, go out and play those songs, you know, and create something beautiful around me.
Now, have you shown this already to the public?
No.
Okay, so you have. There's no gauge on any reaction yet.
Oh, I've got friends who, like, you know, really like it. Some think it's not great, but you know, I've had lots of great feedback from my friends, and like just playing the piano in my house, and
they're just being nice to you. That's why they like you.
Yeah, totally. God, what?
It's the lounge room public, and they're your best critics, surely.
Yes.
So, how can people find out more? How can they get involved? When, where are you showing?
Well, it's tomorrow night, 9 o'clock at the Ra Room, and you can go online. I think on the Midsummer website you can get tickets there, and okay. I'd say you'd probably best to do that because it may sell out.
What time does it start tomorrow?
It starts at 9 o'clock. Okay. And if you're interested to find out, I think I've been talking with Hares and Hyenas and Conduit Arts in Fitzroy about doing it again in the near future, so yeah, you can just log on to my Facebook page. If you search for Ryan comma I full stop, you'll find my news and information page.
Good. Right. Now, you're going to play your guitar for us now.
I am.
So we're going to run a couple of ads while you just tune up.
Okay.
Listen to us right around the nation. Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. We're with Ryan Burrett. Now, Ryan, you've got a a guitar in the studio, which is something that we don't often have in the studio. Now, what we might do is we'll get you to play a song which you've prepared. What's the title of the song?
This song's called Famous Inside.
Famous Inside. All right, let's have a listen.
Okay. Surprised we got this far. You're famous inside me. Every atom of me knows who you are. And I guess if I love you, then that makes you famous too. You're glory for all time. I'm famous inside you. With me, squeeze some blood from my stone. Here you go. Let's turn off the glow of reality and join the protests in the streets. Let's go. Out of things we say, then forget, and lovers we borrow, places we go. I'm not afraid to say I got it wrong. Where I did, I know it's not a prop. I'm famous inside me. I don't need an autograph. And I guess if I love you, then that makes you famous too. Glory for all time, famous inside. For giving up a heart to steal, it made us real. Love is a first world problem, then baby we've just solved it. Ooh, there you go. There you go.
It's not often we have someone play the guitar live in the studio, and that was fabulous. I hope everyone enjoyed that. That was Ryan Barrett, and Ryan's gig is on tomorrow night. It's called The God Particle. It's at the Collins Quarter in the Ra Room, which is 86A Collins Street in Melbourne. Tickets are available on midsummer.org.au. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us
this evening. Very much.
It's been great to meet you, and lovely to listen to your story. Now we're going to carry on with a few. Are we going straight into more music, Mr. P?
Yeah.
We are going. I'm looking. I need bifocals because I can't read what I've written here. Anyway, we're now going into one of my favourite artists. This is for Joy because she's not here tonight. The priest is out on the road. And this is The Delightful Horse, and this track is called This Time.
Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Pom and the Puff, and the priest is missing in action tonight. She's out in the bush.
She is. She's gone. She's going towards all the smoke.
She is. Oh. Did you see the smoke haze over Melbourne the last couple of days?
Oh, I went hiking and got up to the top of this mountain over the weekend, went to look at the wonderful view, and all I saw was white clouds through the bushes, and you couldn't see very far. It was actually a little bit eerie.
Anyway, Joy, if you're listening in the car, darling, we miss you, and keep safe. Now, our next guest has joined us in the studio. St. Michael's Uniting Church believe faith, spirituality and a meaning to life are vital ingredients for good health and well-being, and that there is a need to get hold of a more authentic religious understanding and to express it more confidently and diversely. They strive to be a model of what new faith can possibly be. As part of the Midsummer Festival, St. Michael's are putting on a special worship service featuring Executive Minister Dr. Francis McNab. Joining us in the studio to tell us a bit more is Laura Beckett, a member of the Executive Council of St. Michael's. Welcome to the Spirit Lounge, Laura.
Hi, Andrew and Sue. Thank you for the opportunity to come on your program tonight. It's a real pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, Dr. McNab is a renowned author and public speaker on a wide range of hot topics, including global warming, euthanasia, gay marriage. One of his speeches is called The Long and Hurtful Mood of Homophobia. Now, I watched that on YouTube, and that is such an excellent speech, which shows that he understands our community very well. He's very inclusive of the LGBTI community by recognizing that homosexuality exists not only in every congregation but among church clergy too. Has he always been this supportive of the LGBTI community, and why is that?
Oh, absolutely, yes. You know, Dr. McNab has always been supportive of the LGBTI community. You know, he believes in affirming everyone's dignity, each person's dignity, and that we all have a right to be accepted. Mm-hmm. We all have a right to have that great feeling of community belonging, whether regardless of race, religion, sexuality, preference.
Mm-hmm. So he's inclusive of everybody.
He's inclusive of everybody. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what inspired St. Michael's Uniting Church to create a kind of a special worship event during Midsummer?
One of St. Michael's major platforms is its overt and clearly stated position on inclusiveness. We're holding this service on Sunday to evoke a greater awareness in the general community that fear, distrust, and distorted beliefs about homosexuality need to be challenged. You know, all churches should be leading the charge to break down barriers by bringing people together and honouring difference. Instead, you know, most churches still continue to promote prejudice.
They do, and it's an interesting comment you've just made because, you know, going back in history, the church has always been the hub of so many communities in so many different countries in the world. And yet, you know, we're watching, in many respects, the demise of certain churches because of their lack of inclusivity,
absolutely,
their lack of forward thinking, their lack of general progressiveness. And, you know, that's very refreshing to hear those words, is that let's pull the community together again.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. Now, will this service differ from Dr. Manab's regular services?
Well, the service this Sunday has been dedicated to the gay and lesbian community, and it's in recognition of Midsummer. Dr. McNab has specifically written his address in recognition of the difficulties faced by our gay community. He's entitled the address, Master Your Prejudice, Good People Are Sometimes Different. In addition, St. Michael's has an extensive music program, which we see as vital to our Sunday celebration. For the Midsummer service, we are pleased to have three wonderful performers. Two are an out-proud lesbian couple, soprano singer Deborah Cheatham and her pianist partner Tony Lalich. Mm. We also have the very talented bass baritone Paul Hughes. They will all be performing in recognition of this special day.
Wow, that sounds great.
So the cynics among us might look at this as a recruitment drive by St. Michael's. Are you planning or hoping to attract new members to your church?
Andrew, this is definitely not a recruitment drive. You know, it's rather a statement of what we believe a church community can be, which is a caring, accepting, less prejudiced group of people. Of course, we hope that this service will attract new GLBTI members. Mm-hmm. Of course we do, because we believe St. Michael's has a lot to offer.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm sure it does. Obviously, you've got a lot of gay and lesbian members in your congregation already. What's the most common reason that people leave their existing church or their old church to join St. Michael's when you chat to them?
Well, you know, most people join St. Michael's because it's different. It's inclusive, and it offers a more authentic approach to faith and religion in this 21st century. You know, it advocates a contemporary theology and considers faith, spirituality, and a meaning to life. They're vital for good health and well-being. You know, during Sunday service, as I've mentioned, we offer a wonderful music program where we're honoured to have some of Australia's best musical talent. In addition, we offer many programs at the church, including a very extensive well-being program. So I guess overall people move to St. Michael's because we offer a combination of an intelligent religion, beautiful music, and the promotion and enhancement of well-being.
What proportion of your regular congregation are self-identified as GLBTI people?
Well, Andrew, it's probably about 3 to 5%. But we really don't probe the sexual preferences of our church community. And probably, if I think about it, it actually is probably a bigger percentage than that. But I actually haven't done a survey.
Well, no, people don't march around with banners, do they? When
they're
coming to church?
No.
So it's this Sunday. So where is the church? What time is it?
It's 10 o'clock this Sunday. Now, St. Michael's is at 120 Collins Street in Melbourne. It's on the corner of Collins and Russell. We offer subsidised parking. So if you're going to drive into the city, parking's available at the Grand Hyatt, and access to the Grand Hyatt is via Russell Street. And there's also another car park in Little Collins Street between Russell and Exhibition. Both are subsidised $5 parking.
Okay.
And the subsidy covers you being able to go out for lunch afterwards. You just have to make sure at the end of the service that you come down to the church hall and you'll be able to have your parking card validated in the church hall.
Okay.
We also have a free creche. So if anyone wishes to attend and they have children, our youngsters, the creche opens at 9:30 and closes about 11:30. And all you need to supply is maybe a healthy snack and a drink for the kids. But it's a free creche.
That's great. And if people want to find out more, what's the website for the church?
Website is www.stmichaels.org.au.
Fantastic. Laura, it's been great having you in the studio. Thank you so much for telling us about your special service on Sunday.
Thank you. And we are very excited and we look forward to seeing everyone there.
Thank you.
Not only are your favourite Joy 94.9 programs returning this summer, but we have a heap of new shows to uplift, inform and empower. Sex Workers Unite every Monday evening from 11 with Christian on The Vixen Hour. Be taken on a fabulous journey every Wednesday evening from 10 as Max presents Drag Time. Combat bullying and let us know how it gets better during Purple Speech every Wednesday evening from 11 with Michael and Colin. And from Joy to radio stations across the nation, Asian Pop Radio Australia will be bringing you all the latest music news from East Asia. To find out where your favourite shows are on Joy this summer, see the Joy program grid each week in your local queer newspaper and online at joy.org.au. Connect, represent and celebrate our diverse community all through summer, right here on your community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Real people, real topics, Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9. You're in the Spirit Lounge with Andrew and Bertie. Now, every week we like to put together some of the interesting headlines from around the world. And this week we've got a few more interesting ones, don't we, Bertie?
We do. Well, we've got one serious one and then we've got two weird ones. This is the section I call Weird News.
Tell me the serious one.
But before we do serious and weird, we've got one listener tonight. Peter. Hi, Peter. Hi, Spirit Lounge. Loving the show. Your occasional panellist, Peter, who's on a trip to the country, to Eltham. Where's Eltham?
It's actually not that far out into the country.
Well, he's just seen a tree.
It's the burbs. It's not even the outer burbs.
Oh, so. Darling. Hi, Peter. Anyway, serious story first. Now, this is Joy's pal, the Reverend Dr. Nancy Wilson. The Presidential Inaugural Committee has included a gay pastor and several GLBTI supportive faith leaders in the inauguration festivities this week. The openly gay pastor, Reverend Nancy Wilson, moderator and international leader of the MCC Church, will lead the interfaith prayer service at the National Cathedral on Tuesday. So, of course, that is actually our morning tomorrow, which will be US Tuesday. Now, this is Nancy Wilson, who Dean Beck interviewed at the end of last year, and we actually ran the interview earlier this year,
she was in Australia over Christmas.
She was in Sydney. She was quoted as saying, "It is profoundly meaningful to read the Bible during President Obama's second inaugural interfaith service. As I read, I will remember the hands laid on me 7 years ago in this very cathedral by faith leaders who called me to serve all of God's beautifully diverse children, including GLBTI people. President Obama respectfully stood up for GLBTI equality during his campaign, and I'm proud to stand with him." That's a lovely statement, isn't it? She currently sits on his advisory council on faith-based and neighbourhood partnerships. So she's obviously got the ear of the president. That's quite powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's actually, I think it's really lovely to see a woman leader who is a lesbian,
yep,
who is being treated like so seriously,
yep,
obviously taken very seriously by the American government. So that's
absolutely
fantastic.
I think it's brilliant. Well done, Obama. If I was American and in the States and able to vote, you would have my vote, mate.
So if things were completely different, he'd have your vote.
Yes, if my life was different, he would have my vote. Of course, that would make an enormous difference, wouldn't it? Just the one. Now, anyway, okay, so now we're going to move on to weird news, because this weirdo's popped his head up again. Now, you might remember that we covered a bit of this story last year. There is a complete crackpot in the States. He hosts a radio show. His name's Alex Jones. And his latest thing is government creating gays with chemicals. So you think, okay, what's all that? All that about? We've heard a lot of ridiculous things about where GLBTI people come from or what makes a person gay, but this guy has his claims resurfaced that the government is creating gays with chemicals. Now, this takes conspiracy theories to a new level, doesn't it? And what he claims is this, and there's actually something on YouTube of him actually doing this, even though it's on radio, it's a bit silly. He claims, "The reason there are so many gay people out there now is that the government is encouraging homosexuality with chemicals so that people don't have children."
What?
Okay. What? He claims that there is a medical warfare operation out there and that chemicals are found in the membrane of the inside of juice box cartons, for example. So this little thing on YouTube, then he was cutting open this little, you know, these little cartons you get and you put the straw in them, the small cart.
Yeah.
So he's cutting it open and it's just like the inside of a cardboard box. But he's saying that, you know, that membrane has sort of is gay and it's making people gay and the juice is making people gay. And the guy is just bonkers, bonkers, bonkers.
So as a manufacturing professional, I'm not really sure that stands up.
Well, if I was, I don't know what, if I was Schweppes or Britvic or whoever they are, I think I would actually be coming down on this guy like a ton of bricks. He's also worried that kettle chips have got MSG and there's fluoride in spring water. So he was, you know, he was having a go. But this was the headline, which is, but do you remember this bit? Now, we read this bit out last year. In another clip, he states that troublesome chemicals are seeping into the waterways and they are turning male frogs into female frogs. Do you remember this story?
I do remember this story.
He's reiterated it again.
So I actually, I remember watching a full documentary about this.
Did you?
Yeah. I watched a full documentary about it. I can't remember the name of the chemical, but apparently it's actually happening, but only if you, like, tip litres and litres into their
test tube. But it's something to do with this weed killer, isn't it? It's chemicals found in a common weed killer that actually is feminising male frogs. But then, of course, this guy's saying, oh, it's not clear if the same effect could take place with humans. I mean,
I'm fairly sure they've done research on it.
Well, you know what, guys listening, just don't drink weed killer, okay? Because otherwise it might change your gender or it might make you straight.
Now we've got time just for one more quick story.
Okay, now did you do Latin at school?
Can't say I did.
Okay, the world's biggest dead language. Well, the Pope is now tweeting in Latin. Now, I'm just wondering how many people are actually going to understand anything that he tweets.
You know, I reckon there's going to be a little app or something that will be able to automatically translate it. Or he might do, like, one in Latin and then, oh, here's the English version, following it up 10 seconds later.
Well, I think the Pope's website actually is in about 10 different languages. But it says here, really funny, "Twitter is a tool which requires rapid communication," Roberto Spataro, secretary for the Vatican, Academy for Latin Studies told the press, in English you say, the corruption of the best one is horrible. Translated into Latin, three words suffice: corrupt, optima, pessima. But if character conversation is one of the goals, it doesn't always work. For example, if you change I can eat a cheeseburger into Latin, it comes out possum habere cheeseburger, which sounds like you're eating a possum burger, doesn't it?
Delicious.
Anyway, at the moment, apparently he's got 1.4 million followers. And if you compare perhaps His Holiness the Dalai Lama, he's got 6 million followers. So I think the Pope's got a way to go. But listen, mate, don't do it in Latin.
Joy 94.9.
You're on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof. Stories are a good way to connect us to each other and to help explore our spirituality. Julie Perrin is a writer and storyteller, and she's here to share a story with us. Now, Julie, this story's appeared in the Age on Faith column.
Yeah.
And it's entitled Soundscape. Let's have a listen.
The first thing I noticed when I came home from hospital was the sound. Birds, joggers, walkers and workmen chirped, thumped, padded and yelled outside my bedroom window. I heard them all, relishing the arrival and departure of sound. I hadn't realised how isolating and empty six floors up could be. The return to a three-dimensional life of sound was an unexpected treat. For days at a time, I have lain on my bed, gazing out of my street-facing window. I have settled into my role as a receiver of sound, an observer of movement. The physiotherapist's instructions were uncompromising. No swimming, no Pilates, no gym. Lie down, sit up, lie down. I approached the enforced rest with a kind of dread, but I found that with no compulsion to act, I was free. I did not have to have an opinion to make a response. I was on retreat, fasting from action, immersed in sound. I came to love the nearness and passage of sound, the signal of arrival and the receding away. I loved the glimpses of the neighbourhood. One day, a procession of schoolchildren streamed past, a bubble of chatter and a blather of teachers. I hear the plasterers next door in a day-long joust. I hear the whoops and hoops of the happy birthday sung for the two-year-old across the road. I hear the screech of wheels in the wee hours, the clatter of trucks over speed humps. When I need cocooning, I listen to audiobooks on my iPod. The earphones clamped to my head protect me from too many sounds. I bask in the rhythm of voices, the momentum of narrative. I rest in other people's worlds. Death visits my neighbourhood. My friend loses her daughter, another their mother. I see the neighbourhood respond, the movement of flowers and food. The bereaved walk past my window. They walk their dogs and seek solace by the river. I go to a funeral, but I cannot manage crowds. I notice the waves of energy vibrating from so many bodies. The finely tuned judgment of conversation is beyond my grasp. With relief, I return to my bed. The window makes decisions for me. People come into its frame and leave. It is enough to bear witness. A friend has an exhibition I cannot attend. It's all right, she says. I felt you were very available to me, knowing you were resting. I know the truth of this. Sometimes, just by being, we make ourselves available to each other, the universe, to our neighbourhood. The bliss of rest can be a kind of prayer.
Experience some more of Julie's stories on tellingwords.com.au.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge with the Pom and the Puff. And that, I do admire storytellers. That was our regular storyteller, Julie Perrin. That particular one was called Soundscape. It's such a talent and such a knack to be able to tell stories like that, isn't it, Mr. P?
I get completely enthralled with the telling of the story.
Yeah. And it's the vocabulary, it's the description that creates that picture in the mind's eye. You know what I love about that story? Most people listening are probably, perhaps, been in hospital at some point, other than when you're born. And you know, when you land up in a hospital, you're plucked out of normal life, aren't you?
You are, and you have to. I love the idea that she had in there about enforced rest.
Yeah,
it was like it was militant.
Yes,
had to do this.
Yeah, and you didn't feel guilty because you didn't have a to-do list.
Yeah.
You give yourself permission to sign off, don't you? Which is important. I mean, we should all do that. We're all taught to do that in these corporate training courses, aren't we? Give yourself permission to sign off and do nothing. But, you know, I love that it's time to appreciate sights and sounds, isn't it? And it's funny, you know, the only time I've been in hospital for any length of time, it's stupid, but, you know, you're desperate to get back into normal life. And let me do the ironing, let me do the washing up. I just want to do something normal, you know? And suddenly all those things become appealing again. But the message I got from that story, I think, was, you know, stop and smell the roses, that great phrase that people use, that great cliche, stop and smell the roses sometimes along the way, because it's not just about the destination, it's about the journey, you know? And that was a really cute story.
Yeah, I really liked it. I kind of liken it. I haven't been in hospital very often, but I've missed a lot of planes. And I liken it to, you know, when you're on the last plane, you're booked on the last plane before the airport closes, and they say, your plane's not taking off tonight.
Why do you keep missing planes? Are you always late?
And they just cancel them on me. and you have nothing to do except yep. wait. And yep. you do give yourself permission mm. to sign
You're
off.
You're at the mercy of other people, aren't you?
You definitely are.
Now, you know how we were talking about Peter driving out into the country? He's now sent an SMS saying, I've lost Joy Radio, must be the country.
Well, he must be listening on his Joy app on his smartphone to send that. Thanks for your input, Peter.
Joy 94.9.
And that's it for another week on the Spirit Lounge. Thank you for listening to The Pom and the Puff. The Priest will be back with us next week from 8 till 9 on Tuesday.
Don't forget that if you are interested to go and see Ryan Burrett, who we spoke to earlier in the show.
The God Particle.
The God Particle is the name of his show. Check it out on midsummer.org.au. Or head along to St. Michael's Uniting Church. That's also available on midsummer.org.au.
And that was our second guest, which was Laura, and they're doing a very special service at 10 o'clock this Sunday to celebrate Midsummer. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned, because Catching Up is coming next.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.